Amen, amen. Is your faith in Jesus today?
Amen.
Then you can be sure that your future is secure because of him and what he's done for you. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 yet again. Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to find our text today, one verse, verse 33. If you're able, let's stand together. I'm so thankful for the promises of God's word.
Amen.
It's an amazing thing to consider that Almighty God became a man to die for sinners like me. If it wasn't for the truth of the word of God, I don't know that I could believe it. It's almost beyond belief, almost beyond comprehension. And I think that's why the Spirit has to give us even the faith to believe. That God would love, that God would sacrifice for us, and yet he did, and we have so much to rejoice in today. And because of what he's done, he allows us to be a part of his kingdom. And when you're born again, when you put your faith in Jesus, you enter into the kingdom of God. He brings you into his kingdom by faith, but then he doesn't want you to just have eternity in the kingdom. He wants you to live in that kingdom reality every day. And that's what this verse is really all about. So let's pray together one more time as we approach the Word of God. And then we're going to read the text together. Brother Ryan Barnes, will you lead us in prayer? Amen. While you're still standing, this one verse, Jesus says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Please be seated. We spent quite a bit of time learning about these things because really he's talking about wealth. That's kind of the section. It's all has to do with wealth and the things that money can buy. And we spent a lot of time last Sunday talking about living free from daily anxiety, because the Lord says, take no thought, which means don't worry. Don't be anxious about these things. God knows you. He's going to take care of you. He takes care of the birds and the flowers. He'll take care of you.
Amen.
Amen? And isn't it good to know that God Almighty is going to take care of you?
Amen.
You may not always have everything you want, but you will always have everything you need.
Amen.
And just as a side note, sometimes the things you need are not things that you want. Right? And so God works to give us everything we need, and we don't have to be afraid. And then in the afternoon session, we dug in a little bit into living focused on daily priorities. And I wrestled a lot this week about whether to move on to chapter 7 or spend a little more time here. And I'm just convinced that we need to spend a little more time here. It's always when you're preaching verse by verse through chapters or books, it's hard not to get bogged down sometimes. I don't want to do that, but I also don't want to move too quickly. And I think that this verse is very critical to our relationship with God. I think it's critical to our life in the kingdom. And that's what this whole series has been all about, is the kingdom of God. We are taught by the Lord to pray, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what we're learning about, is living in the kingdom. And in order to do that, I have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, he says at the end, all these things shall be added unto you. We really talked a lot about that last time. You don't have to worry about what you're going to eat or drink or what you're going to wear. You don't have to worry about tomorrow's troubles today, because God's going to take care of you. Okay? But I really want to focus on the first half of this verse, and we're going to just take it one word at a time today and make sure that we really deeply understand what it means to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So number one, seek. It seems like everybody in the world is seeking something. He says earlier that don't worry about this stuff, because that's the Gentiles seek after those things. So there's a seeking that the Gentiles have. And basically, we could just take it like this. Those who are outside of God in the world, they're seeking things.
Amen.
earthly things, temporal things. That's what they're searching for. That's what they're after. And Jesus says, don't be like that. Don't be like those that are without God in the world. Don't be like those who are outside of my kingdom, because they're seeking these things. That's what they're searching for. That's what they're longing for. That's what they're desiring. But don't be like that. He calls his followers to higher priorities. And if you're in the kingdom, then you have higher priorities, literally higher than you can imagine in the heavens higher. Above all things higher. The word to seek in this verse is a little English lesson real quick. I was terrible at this in school, so forgive me. Somebody can correct me later when I get all this messed up. But it's present active imperative. What that means is it's in the present. It's active. That means that the object, the subject, is the one who does the action. That means that you do this, and it is, so it's present, it's active, and it's imperative, which means that Jesus isn't asking you a question. He's giving you a command. Amen. So he's not just saying, hey, here's an idea you could try. He is commanding those in his kingdom to seek first his kingdom. Okay? So it's a command that the subject performs with continuous, ongoing action. It's present tense. It's not you sought the kingdom one time and you're done. It's not you will seek it in the future. It's present tense, meaning this: you are to seek and keep on seeking. Amen. So continually seeking the kingdom, and this is every day of our lives. And I think this is critical for American Christianity, because too many people in America think you prayed a prayer one time, you're good. That's all you need in your kingdom life. I prayed a prayer, repeated a prayer, I believed in Jesus, and now I'm good. And you could just go on, live your life however you want to. But Jesus says, I want you to continually seek my kingdom. You do it. Seek ye first. So he's speaking to a plurality of people, but each and every one of us have to do it. I have to seek the kingdom. And you have to seek the kingdom. And as I seek the kingdom, of course, I'm doing that for God. I'm doing it for my family. I'm doing it for you guys. I'm doing it for his kingdom. But I can't seek the kingdom for my kids. They have to do that. Amen. You can't seek the kingdom alone for your spouse. Like, they have to do that. Everybody tracking with me? We all have a personal responsibility. You can't ride on the coattails, as they used to say, of somebody else. You have to do the seeking. It's critical. It's vital. You continually make it your life's priority to pursue the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So the Greek word to seek is defined to seek, to look for, try to obtain, desire to possess. It means this: to devote serious effort to realize one's desire or objective. Now, has there ever been anything in your life that you really wanted, like you had a great desire for? Amen. Amen. Okay, so some of you are going back in the recesses of your mind right now, remembering long ago. There's no telling what it was. For some of you, it might have been that Red Ryder BB gun. Amen. And everybody in the world was telling you, you'll shoot your eye out, kid. Sorry for that. I'm sorry. But you had this great desire for more than anything in the world if you could get that BB gun, right? I don't have any idea. Maybe it was a little dolly. I have no idea. I remember the craze over the American Girl dolls. And like there were girls who dreamed, who prayed, who pleaded, who saved pennies to get an American Girl doll. They wanted one more than anything in the world. I don't know what it was for you. Maybe it was your first car. Maybe it was that BMX bike with the mag rims. I don't know. I'm just saying there were things that you desired, and some of you had those desires, and you prayed for it, you worked for it, you longed for it, you pursued it as a kid, and then you really didn't change after you got older, right? It went from a lever-action BB gun to a bolt-action rifle, right? I'm just saying we all have these desires, that you just really went after, you wanted, and you understand that. Like, you think about it a lot, and you research it a lot, and you have a desire to get it. You want to obtain it. You want to get a hold of it. You want it to be yours. And Jesus is saying, seek my kingdom like that. Amen. But more than anything you've ever desired before, seek his kingdom. Amen. Okay, you go after it. Every desire and decision you have has to be focused on the rule, reign, and righteousness of God. Amen. What is his kingdom? It's his rule. It's his reign. It's his sovereignty. That's what we're talking about. His sovereign rule and his righteousness. And we have every desire that we have, every decision that we make is focused on that. It's interesting, in Strong's Concordance, he notes that to seek is a Hebraism for the worship of God. And what I mean by Hebraism is that it's just a way that they would say something, okay? The meaning in Hebrew thought was to seek God meant to have worshipful pursuit of God. Amen. So we have those colloquialisms, right? Things that we say. I mean, people in the South, we know what it means when somebody says to somebody else, bless your heart. But that means something different than what it sounds like, right? Yeah, it could be, you know, combined with a pat on the head. Bless your heart. Right? So we have words, turns of phrase that we use that we understand. And so when they would say seek, especially his kingdom or anything revolving around God, it's an idea of seeking him in a worshipful way. Okay? Here's what I'm trying to tell you. This is not about an intellectual pursuit of God. It's not just about knowing about God. And there are a lot of people, I meet people a lot of times who will say, well, I really like the Bible. I like the historical value of it. And it's certainly good historically. It's the most accurate historical book in the world, right? Amen. You never had a textbook in school that was as accurate as the Bible is. Amen. And by the way, the world is doing everything they can to tell you can't trust your Bible, all the while they're putting out books full of lies. Like, trust us. Trust the science. It'll change tomorrow, but trust it today, right? So we have the truth, and it is a historically accurate book, but it's not just about learning historical facts. It's not learning intellectually about God, it's about knowing him. Amen. It's about seeking him. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. Deuteronomy 4, 29. He says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. We kind of get this idea that God's different in the New Testament than he was in the Old, but he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's unchanging. He's always wanted you to seek him with your heart and with your soul, with your mind and with your might and with your strength. He wants you to seek him, to know him. And he says, if you'll seek me with all your heart, you can know me. Amen. Not just know about me, but know me. Amen. Experientially knowing him. Amen. Right? To know him. Some of you guys have read about historical figures to the point that you think you kind of feel like you know them a little bit. You've watched documentaries of people and you kind of feel like you know them. Some of you watch podcasts to the point like you just feel like you know the person giving the podcast, but it's different to know them that way than to be their friend. Amen. To live life with them, to experience life with them, and to actually know them is different, right? And we know God when we seek him with all our heart. That's the idea that they got. Check out Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verse 1. You might want to turn there in your Bible or in your app. I used to worry if I came to the pulpit with my phone or my tablet to preach from sometimes because people used to get weirded out by that. Do you know that there was a time when you had a Bible like this that's bound in a book like a codex that was weird? You know that? It used to be a scroll. I imagine the first guy that got up to preach at his church with a book like bound like this was like, man, I hope people don't think this is weird that I don't have a scroll. Can I just say this? The Word of God, however you have it, is good. Some of you are wondering why I said that. I am too, but I did. It's still the Word of God, even if it's electronic. I'm just saying. Somebody needed to hear that, I hope. Psalm 63, verse 1. This is a psalm of David. When he was in the wilderness of Judah, and he says this, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that swears by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Amen. I kept wanting to like pick a few verses out of this, and I couldn't, so we just did the whole thing. Look back at verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I have no idea what it does to your heart when you read Psalms like this, but I'm going to tell you what it does to mine. First of all, it thrills my soul to just see David's desire to know God. And at the same time that it thrills my soul, I feel incredibly convicted because I don't know if I've ever desired to know God the way David desired to know God. He was a man after God's own heart. What that means is that he pursued God with all his heart. It doesn't just mean that like his heart was made like God's heart. That's true too. But what it means is that he was chasing after God. He was following after God. His heart's desire was to be near God and to know God. His greatest desire was to dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. And he had that because he believed God. Friend, listen. If you have faith in Jesus, you have that. You will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But it's not some far-off thing that you can know God one day. It's not some far-off thing that you can be in the presence of God one day. It's not some far-off thing that you can experience an intimate, real relationship with God. Someday you can know him today. Amen. You can walk with him today. You can seek him today. In Psalm 27, David says, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Amen. And he says here, I'm going to seek you early. I'm going to seek you early. Literally, he's talking about just early in his life, early in his day, early in, and he's going to seek him ahead first before everything else. In verse 2, he said to see, here in Psalm 63, verse 2, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. The loving kindness of God is better than life. You understand what he's saying? Your love for me, your goodness to me is better than even being alive. Isn't that awesome? What a heart to know God and to love God. My soul be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. I skipped verse 4. Sorry. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to glorify you. I'm going to lift up my hands to praise you, and I'm not going to be ashamed. Just keep saying stuff people need to hear today. Listen, just as a side note, I know this is a Baptist church. I know this is an old school Baptist church. Hey, man. But let me just tell you, if you ever feel compelled to raise your hands to God in praise, Amen. You can and should do that. Amen. It's okay. And you're like, yeah, but people might look at me weird. They're looking at you weird anyway. You might as well just be praising Jesus when they do. I will lift up my hands in thy name. You ever wonder where that comes from? I used to be weirded out by that. Honestly, I did, because I thought it was something the charismatics made up. But it was right there in the Bible the whole time. I kept wondering, why do I want to do that? Like, I can't do that. I'm a Baptist. I can't raise my hands up. What's wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with me. It's what the Spirit moves. He moves us to respond. Okay. Well, whoever's upset that I said that today, I'll talk to you later. It'll be fine. I brought my verse. You bring yours. Okay. Man. Y'all pray for me. Sometimes I get up here and start saying a bunch of stuff I had no intention of saying, and I just don't know what's going on. Maybe it's because I've been camping the last two nights, I camped for a couple of nights, and I don't even know what day it is. I don't know if you've been camping lately, but you don't go camping to sleep. Amen, Brother Dean? Okay. Here I am making excuses. I believe that God wants us to express our praise and worship to him. Amen. And David was a man who was not ashamed to worship God. He was undignified before God. And just as a side note, if you get to ever read in your Bible and you read about David dancing naked before the Lord, that's not naked dancing like people do out there in the world today. It just means that he took his outer garment off, his royal robe he took off. It doesn't mean that he didn't have any clothes on. Somebody else besides Brother Steve say amen. I need you to understand that when you see the David dance naked before the Lord, don't get this image in your mind that he's just out there streaking through Jerusalem. That's not what was happening, okay? All right. No, he took off his outer garment. He still had on his undergarments. So for us today, the closest thing I could tell you, he probably, what you would have looked like to you was that he was wearing shorts and a t-shirt, okay? Wasn't quite like that. It was a tunic. It would have covered his shoulders all the way down to about his knees, okay? So he wasn't naked, but he was dancing before God, and he was not ashamed. Why? Because he was expressing his love and worship to God. And his wife didn't care much for it, but he didn't care what her or anybody else thought because he was dancing before the Lord. Okay. Man, this thing's gotten off the rails. What happened? Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. We have so much to praise God for day and night. Did you guys catch it? Early will I seek thee, and my lips will praise you in the middle of the night. It doesn't matter when it is. I'm going to praise the Lord. He had a heart to seek God. And that's what Jesus is calling us to do. So when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, it's not just trying to seek him intellectually, it's trying to seek him in a worshipful way to have real relationship with God. That's the whole point. In Isaiah 55 and verse 6, he says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. We have a limited amount of time here. We have a limited amount of time here. None of us, if Jesus comes back before you die, then you get to live forever. You never die. Amen. But the reality for most of us is that one day, and maybe very soon, we'll close our eyes in death. Amen. And then we'll pass into eternity. That's what we say, right? Amen. Say somebody passed on. What do we mean? Well, their spirit is passed to eternity. Now, for those who are in Christ, you get to pass into the presence of the Lord. Amen. The moment your life is gone here, your life really begins eternity there. Amen. But for those who don't know the Lord, the moment your life ends here, you will be in torments for the rest of eternity. And the only way to escape that torment is to put your faith in Jesus. And friend, let me just try to plead with you this morning. If you've never been born again, we make it so difficult. We make it so hard, so confusing. And there is everything in our flesh. And of course, the devil and all of his demons are trying to keep you away from God. Amen. Just let me tell you, it is simple. It is childlike faith. Amen. It is just making a decision today. I'm not going to continue in my sin and unbelief. I have decided to follow Jesus. I'm going to turn away from all of that, and I'm going to turn to God. I want to follow him. I want to know him. I want to seek his kingdom. I want to be a part of his kingdom. I believe that Jesus died for me and rose again. Amen. It's just repentance and faith. Correct. Trust in him today. And when this life is over, it's just a step into his presence forever. So seek. Seeking is something everybody's doing. And Jesus says, I want you to seek first the kingdom of God. Stop seeking things that are temporal. Stop seeking things that are earthly. Start seeking things that are eternal and heavenly. Amen. And then he says, seek ye first. Not only does Jesus teach his followers what to seek, but he teaches us how to seek. First of all, especially as a matter of priority or importance. So let me try to clarify this. Jesus isn't just saying seek first before other things in time. So he's not just saying, seek first the kingdom of God and the idea of seek him while you're a child and then seek other things when you get older. He's not just saying, seek him in the morning and then seek other things later in the day. You guys understand what I'm trying to say? It's not just seeking first chronologically in order of time, but he's saying, seek him first, seek his kingdom first in priority.
Amen.
Seek first as the preeminent focus of your life. Jesus Christ should not just have first place in your life. He is above everything.
Amen.
He doesn't just have a prominent place in your life. He is preeminent.
Amen.
What does that mean? It means that it's not just that he's a really big thing in the midst of a lot of other things. It means that he is everything.
Amen.
He's everything. All right, some of you guys have been saved for a minute. Just think about this, just for a second. Just imagine it the other way. What is your life without Christ? I mean, some literally shudder to think, what is my life without Christ? There is no life without Christ. I am nobody. I am nothing. I have nothing. I look forward to nothing. I can be nothing, do nothing. My existence is completely bound up in him. He's everything to me. I can't imagine for a nanosecond not being in Christ.
Amen.
It's terrifying to me to think of. Before I got saved, I was scared of going to hell.
Amen.
I was. I mean, that's part of, it was really the cross, the love of Jesus, knowing that he died for me, that brought me to repentance and faith. But there was a part of that too, like I didn't want to go to hell.
Amen.
Anybody else? Like, I didn't want to go to hell.
Amen.
I don't want to go to hell. But it was his love that compelled me to believe. But now, it's not even the thought if I didn't have Christ that I would end up in hell. It's just the thought of not having him.
Amen.
I can't imagine that. But I do have him.
Amen.
And he has me.
Amen.
I am his and he is mine. And what he is saying is that Christ is above everything. Seek chiefly above all things his kingdom and his righteousness. He is the supreme object of our lives. Our desires, the direction of our life, we should order all other pursuits beneath his rule, reign, and righteousness. We most often, place our earthly, temporal, material concerns first. We're mostly, firstly concerned with our comfort. Our personal plans and fleshly desires come before the things of God. That's the way we are naturally. Isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, can we just be honest today? And say, like, if I'm just really honest, like, my default setting is to just be worried about being comfortable and doing what I want to do. Is that true? Is it just me? Okay, thank you, AJ. I appreciate the backup. Nobody else wants to admit it this morning. Like, I like to be comfortable. When I'm hungry, I want to eat. When I'm thirsty, I want something to drink. And I don't want something gross, like water. I want something good. I know water's good. I'm just... Like, I could go in the morning. Like, I could get up and not have a cup of coffee. Like, I could do that. But why would I want to? Yeah, amen. Trying to get it back to some truth now. Jesus is commanding a new order. It doesn't mean seek the kingdom and then seek your desires. It means seeking the kingdom governs and sanctifies all other seeking. It doesn't mean I'm gonna seek Jesus a little, and I'm gonna seek me a little, and I'm gonna do what he says, and then I'm gonna do what I say, what I want. It's not that way. What it means is that Jesus is ruling and reigning over all of my desires and actions. He's first, and he's in everything. Matthew 22:37. Somebody came to Jesus and wanted to know what the greatest commandment was. And of course, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself.
Amen.
So Jesus gives this prioritized order, right? Love God first and love others. But guess what? If you love God first, you will love others. They're inseparable. I cannot say that I love God and hate my brother. I can't. It's impossible. I can't do it. So my love is wrapped up in him. And if he's first, then everything else falls underneath that. And if I seek his kingdom first, above everything else, if Christ has preeminence in every part of my life, then I'm going to seek the way that I should. And what is it that I'm seeking? I'm seeking the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is defined as this: the act of ruling, reigning, or kingship. It is the royal reign of God, not primarily a realm, but the exercise of authority, the rule itself. So the kingdom is God's rule, what he's ruling and reigning over, what he is sovereign over, what he is exercising his authority and control over. And that's what we want, right? That's what we're praying for. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Because I look at the world out there that's not governed by God, and it is a mess. It's a wreck. It is chaos and sin and darkness and wickedness and evil of every kind. And what we're hoping for, what we're praying for, what we're pleading for is that Jesus would rule and reign over everything here like he does there. Because what does he bring? Well, he brings life instead of death. He brings light instead of darkness. He brings love instead of hate. Like, he fixes everything. That's what we're talking about. The sovereign reign of God, his dynamic redemptive rule, begun in Christ's life, death, and resurrection, and finalized in his return. Thayer's Theological Dictionary says this: the kingdom of God is his royal reign, the spiritual rule of God in and through the Messiah, manifested in the hearts of men and destined to be perfected in the new order of things to come. And here's what I'm going to tell you. The kingdom of God is lived out and expressed in you. He's coming. He's going to come again. He's going to rule and reign. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
But listen, I know some of you have been so focused. I know you love to read Revelation. You love to study end time events. And some of you get so wrapped up in all that that you forget to be the kingdom now.
Amen.
Well, listen, he's coming. He's coming. Just as sure as he came, he's coming again. And listen, I think you ought to study about it. I think you ought to look forward to it. I think you ought to pay attention to the signs of the times. I think all of that's good, as long as it doesn't distract you from actually living out the kingdom now. And some guys I know and I see, they're so wrapped up in the end time stuff, they forget about being here now. Don't be that. It's his kingdom is manifested in the hearts and minds of people today. The kingdom of God is the sphere where God's authority is acknowledged, where his will is done on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
This is our hope. This is our prayer. Psalm 103. Psalm 103. If you're ready for me to stop preaching, you can be excited. If you want me to keep preaching longer, then you can be disappointed. We're going to bring it to a close. And this afternoon, we'll talk more about his righteousness. But let me give you this. Psalm 103, verse 8. The 103rd Psalm, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious.
Amen.
Slow to anger.
Amen.
And plenteous in mercy.
Amen.
He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him and his righteousness unto children's children. Amen. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them, the Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works that in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You know what all that's talking about? It's talking about the kingdom. It's talking about the rule and the reign of God. It's talking about his dominion, his sovereignty, his power. He rules over all. And I have great news for you. If you're in Christ today, you are part of that kingdom. Amen. Everything in this world is like a flower that dies in the grass and is blown away by the wind. No, you can't even tell where it was. It's like it never existed. But that's not you in Christ. Amen. He has you from everlasting to everlasting. He has you now and forevermore. But you have to put your faith in Jesus. And if you are in him, then you're in his kingdom. You are part of his rule and reign. And you're his forevermore. It is awesome to know that you're on the winning side. Amen. Isn't that awesome? You're part of his kingdom. Then you already have the victory in Jesus. Amen. He's already won it. Let's stand together. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. We're going to close with a song this morning. If you're here this morning or you're watching online, and you have never trusted in Christ as your Savior, I plead with you to trust in him now. He died for you and rose again because he loves you. And even though we were sinners, Christ died for us. Even though I rebelled against him, sinned against him, he still loved me and gave himself for me. And he did that for you too. And if you'll trust in him alone, he'll save you and give you eternal life. Put your faith in Jesus today if you've never done that. If you've done that but you've never been baptized, you need to make that decision. Identify with him publicly and follow him with all your life. Serve him in his body, the local church. If he's convicting your heart, any decision that you need to make for Jesus, you come right now while we sing.
Page 564.
564.